When it comes to building a business empire online while intentionally cultivating a thriving life at home with kids, well, there is no roadmap. It's not easy. But the great news is, we're not alone. We live in a crazy world that is truly unlike any other time in our history. And if you're like me, you've got an impact of your own to make. But you're not willing to sacrifice your relationship with those that you love in order to get it. My name is Stephanie Dove Blake, and this is the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast, where we'll journey together to learn what it means to be a truly powerful parent. Let's go. Welcome to the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Man, I believe this marks episode 53, and it's going to be different. And the reason it is going to be different is because actually two reasons. One is a silly reason. One is I was on two back-to-back trips, one up to Boise with Russell Brunson, getting to facilitate some groups inside of the Inner Circle and attend the Atlas Mastermind, which was just absolutely incredible. Seriously incredible. Every time I go up to Boise, I just learn so much and connect with so many incredible people. And then right after that, I went on a cruise with my youngest and my husband for the Limitless Agency coaching program. It's just absolutely phenomenal program for people who have agencies. And so anyway, I had two back-to-back incredible trips, and I was supposed to record an extra podcast before I left, and I didn't get to it. And then I was going to record one yesterday and I didn't get to it. And here I am. It's 8:24 on April 16th. And I haven't recorded the podcast, and it's supposed to go live in literally an hour and a half. And so this podcast is going to be a little different because it's not going to be an interview, obviously. It's just me here. And I just want to share my heart with you because today is actually a very, very, very special day. And apologize if I get a little weepy. But today is the day that I became a mom back in 2002. And, my oldest Josiah is turning 22 today. And so, man, I was just sitting there this morning, you know, trying to wake myself up, because I wanted to get up, and we got some presents and we wrapped them yesterday. And, this morning, you know, he's 22 and you don't quite get birthdays like you used to have whenever, you know, you were little. At least we don't, you know, go do the whole Minecraft theme and you've got like, you know, all the crazies. But we always love to wake our kids up in the morning, and we have a couple of traditions on birthdays. And this morning, you know, as kids get older, sometimes it's, things change, right? A lot of things change. And this morning I was just thinking about that, about how, man, I have a 22-year-old, and boy, is he incredible, and how proud I am to be his mom. Gosh, you guys, I'm going to make it through this, but I'm probably going to be a little weepy. I'm not sad. I'm just so pensive and grateful this morning for my very handsome, very wonderful son, Josiah. And I was looking back on my motherhood journey, just thinking about it last night before I was going to bed. And I woke up this morning thinking about it too, and thinking about Josiah and thinking about the first time becoming a mother and not really understanding what that would mean to me and what it has meant to my life to have someone like Josiah in my life. And all of my kids are so incredibly special to me in their own ways because they're all so unique and different. I've got four kids. Remember, for those of you who may be listening new, I swear I'm not crazy. But my youngest is 10. She's a girl. And then my second daughter is 15. She's going to be 16 on April 25th. And then my third child is a boy. His name is Jude, and he is 18. And then my oldest is turning 22 today. And so, oh my gosh, whenever I look back at my mom journey and I think about how I started it feeling so filled with happiness and hope and excitement. But then also too, there was a part of me that just was so scared because my mother was incredibly sick whenever I was in my tween and teen years. And I don't really remember much from my childhood because of probably some trauma. And I just didn't have a great example of a mother, except for that my mother was steadfast in her love for me, even though that might have come out in different ways. But there was a lot that went on in my childhood, and I didn't have a father figure in my life. And, you know,
I remember the first time I held Josiah in my hands, and just the immense feeling of responsibility and the magnitude of the love that I felt for this little human was just something that, if you're a parent, you understand, and it's just inexplainable. And I'm so grateful that I get to be his mom. And that responsibility came through, and I really struggled with how do I become a good mother? And I think on this podcast, if you've been listening at all, at the end, I always ask, what does it mean to be a good mother? And I feel like that's a question I've been asking myself for a long time. And I look back, gosh, I had to pull it together. I'm working on it, guys. I look back at my motherhood journey with Josiah. And I was ravenous whenever it came to books. I was like, how do I do this right? How do I do this in a way that I'm not going to screw up my kids? And I used to just read books and read books. I did that. Marriage and parenting books were the majority of the first, like, I don't know, over a decade of my motherhood. And I just studied and studied and studied and tried to understand, how do you do this thing right? And oh my gosh, there were so many things I did wrong, so many things in my, default zone that I did just so wrong. And things I didn't understand about the fact that kids cannot be put in a box and what works for someone else isn't necessarily going to work for you. And also that, your kid needs you and who you are. And I didn't have to try to be like other mothers that I knew. I needed to figure out what it meant for me to be a good mother. And if you're listening to this, I hope that you hear me and that it's one of these questions that it's important for us to ask ourselves as parents, what does it mean for me to be a good mother? Not what did it mean for one of my favorite people in the motherhood space who no longer really, I mean, she still publishes, but she doesn't do her conferences anymore. But Sally Clarkson, like, what did it mean for Sally to be a good mother to her four children? Well, what it looked like for Sally was a lot different than what it looked like for me, even though I was trying to emulate Sally in so many ways at different times in my motherhood. And I'm so grateful for that though, because I learned so much from her. But I actually pulled out these old notebooks that I have from some of her old conferences that she used to do, because I want to tell you guys that I'm going to tease you just a little bit, because at the end of this podcast, I want to tell you about a very special opportunity, because I'm going to start something and I'm inviting you to it, but I'll tell you about it at the end. But I pulled out, and it was kind of so cool because I had no idea where to find this morning. I looked in like seven different places and finally found it in a box. And so, but I'm looking at this old notebook, and this was one of the first times I ever went to a Sally Clarkson conference. And it was just so crazy because at this conference, my entire life was changed. The very first one, my entire life was changed by Sally Clarkson. And I say that because I, at that period of time in my life, John and I were kind of in a very turbulent situation, and we were moving back to Texas, and I was in the midst, I had three children at the time. Journey wasn't born yet. And we were living in Colorado and we were moving back to Texas. And I was so crazy burnt out because of, I was, what was I doing? I was running a business online. I was breeding pocket beagles, one or two litters a year. And I had a website and all the stuff. I was also taking 21 college credit hours online. I was also helping my father-in-law build his Bible school. I was also homeschooling. I was also making meals. I was also doing the laundry. And I mean, just honestly, too much. But there was nobody in my life really to go, hey, Stephanie, maybe you're doing too much. Maybe you need to slow down. Or maybe if there was, I wasn't listening. And so life was so busy. And when I had basically, I was so stressed out, and a family came to pick up a pocket beagle at our home, and they had three kids with them, and they were so well behaved and just beautiful kids. Their family was so cute and how they interacted with each other, and I found out that they were a homeschooling family. And at this point in my homeschooling journey with Josiah, I felt like I'm going to screw my kid up for life. Like, what am I doing wrong? And that is because Josiah Evan Blake is a completely out of the box human being. And I didn't know that at the time. And so I was basically trying to bring school home instead of actually schooling him in a way that felt natural. I was trying to fit him into a box. And oh my gosh, it was not working. And we were both stressed out and it was rough. And anyway, this family comes in, they look at the puppy, and I'm like, basically looking at the mom's like, you guys homeschool? And she's like, yeah. And I ask them a couple questions, and I was just like, basically I started crying at one point. It's like, I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And this lady got really serious with me, and she asked me the craziest question. I still like, did I dream this? Like, did I make this up? But I really do think I know she asked me this question because I was so shocked by it. But she looked at me, she goes, honey, are you being mothered? And I was like, what a strange question to ask. That's such a strange question to ask. And I thought about it and I was like, no, my mom just died before we moved here in Colorado. And I don't really have any mother figures in my life. And I just started weeping. And she's like, oh, honey, you need to go to this conference. And she told me about this conference that I'm holding the little pamphlet for. And anyway, I was like, I don't have any money. I can't afford to go to a conference. And she's like, well, it's in Texas. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're moving back to Texas. That's so crazy. So I tell my husband about it. She says, hey, look, contact Sally and their team, and they will actually, you know, let them know that you know me, and they have sponsorships. So you can get a sponsorship. And so essentially we moved back to Texas. We get there with the U-Haul, and essentially John pushes me out the door to go to this conference. I call them, I get a conference sponsorship, and I go and literally have no money. Okay. I plan on sleeping in my van. And so we get there I'm by myself, and I walk into this conference, and it's probably about 150 women. They're all seated at like tables of 10. There's chocolate on the tables, and it's a really nice atmosphere. And I sit down, it's already started. I was late, go figure. And the only spot was kind of at the front. So I grabbed the seat, and I'm sitting there, and all these women are around me, these 10 women at this table. And as soon as Sally starts speaking, I'm just like crying, just bawling my face off. And I think I cried the entire first day, just on and off as the speakers were speaking. And I just kept the tissues coming. And I'm like, I don't even know what these women think about me. They got to think I have like something wrong with me, or I'm like, oh, it's just allergies, you know, like whatever. Gosh, my heart was just so moved. It was like water to a parched and dry soul to hear someone talk about motherhood and what it means to be a mother, and all these things that I had questions about in my head, and just feeling so alone in the journey. And so anyway, this book I'm holding in my hand. Oh, let me finish another really great part of that story. So I'm sitting there bawling my face off. It's the end. It's time to wrap up for prayer. And essentially, I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, God, and previously we've been missionaries in Thailand for about 4 years, and we have slept in some crazy places, you know, like I know how to rough it, right? And so I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, okay, I don't have money for a hotel room, but I'm going to sleep in my van. I brought blankets. And then a part of my heart, as we were ending in prayer, I was like, God, but if there's a way that I could just sleep on a couch or something like that would just be so magnificent, but it's okay if not, you know, just kind of an afterthought. So we wrap up in prayer, and I open my eyes, and this woman comes over to me, and she's a shorter woman. Find out later that she's from Guatemala. And oh my gosh, I probably got that wrong, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Oh my gosh, Madeline's going to kill me. It's Madeline Mangrum. Oh my gosh, she knows me though. She loves me. But so she comes over to me, and she puts her hand on my arm, and she says, this is the way I remember it, but she puts her hand on my arm, she goes, she asked me, hey, what's your name? And then she says, where are you staying tonight? And I told her, I was like, I don't know, I'm gonna sleep in my van. I know that's kind of weird, but it's fine, I got a blanket. She goes, oh my gosh, no, I have an extra room that I was supposed to cancel, but I didn't, and I just felt like it was supposed to be for someone here at the conference, and that's you. So I want to invite you to stay in this extra room I have. And I start weeping and crying. And anyway, that woman has been in my life since that very first conference. And I don't know, I think it was 2011. I'll have to like double check that. But she's been in my life for over a decade now, and has been one of the most powerful people in my life. And I've just grown and learned so much with her, but the crazy story, you know, just like getting there, going to the conference, crying my face off, and then God provided a room for me. And her and I became fast friends and are still friends to this very day, and in a very meaningful, amazing way. And so my whole point for kind of telling you this story and diving into this is because I was looking through this morning, and one of the biggest messages that I received and that I got that I hung on to that I'm so proud of because of my relationship with Josiah is through all of it, through the ups, the downs, the hard times, the horrific math lessons, the roller coaster rides and all the stuff, not like it's over or anything, but you know, through all of the woes and the beginnings of motherhood with Josiah, the one thing that was resounding for me was connection and to have his heart and to work hard to have his heart and for him to know that he is seen, that he is loved fully, and that I believe in him and that I'm his number one fan. And not in a placating type of way, but in a present, very real type of way. And you know, there's so many things that I think about now about how I, you know, just struggled through so much shame as a mother, just feeling like I just didn't have it figured out. I couldn't figure it out. But the one thing that the gift that Sally gave me was recognizing that academics, yeah, they matter. You know, having a house that looks so, right, the certain way, did that matter? Yeah, that mattered. Being able to provide like a whole bunch of consistency in a child's life. Does that matter? Yeah, it matters. But like, there's all these things I can go through that really matter. But I think the one thing that matters the most is taking the time to connect with your kids. And that's kind of the resounding message I'm hoping that you've gotten from all of these interviews that I've been doing with people, that whenever you get down to it, yeah, everybody's got these different ways of doing this and connecting with their kids. But essentially, I believe that, you know, you can really screw up academics. You can really screw up, you know, having like a consistent home where things are so, and, you know, there's all these things that you can really mess up. But if you lean in and you make the time to spend with your kids in meaningful ways and connect in their world versus connecting in the way that you want to be connected to them, there is nothing better than that. And oftentimes in life, especially in business, we can be distracted from that wonderful, beautiful thing that is so simple and so basic, but yet so vital to growing a human, a healthy human that feels like they have a place to belong and people in their lives. And so I just want to encourage you because it was so neat. I was just looking through here, and there's some really great quotes that I pulled out. The first one I like wrote on the front of the thing, and it said, put down the work and pick up the kids. I thought that was really cute. But there was a thing that she always just taught was basically, you know, you're mentoring your children. And the ways that you can do that is you can cultivate beauty in their lives through meals or for making things, or even if it's as small as like having hot chocolate, like setting aside a special moment and just going, hey, come have hot chocolate with me, and you know, get some marshmallows and set things out. Or it might be if you're a man, or this could be a woman thing too, you know, you go out and you work in the yard, you go do these, but it's moments where you're drawing them to you and you're opening your heart, and whether it's something you're doing yourself, but you're creating these pockets, these moments with your kids. And what's so crazy about it is it doesn't take a ton of moments in a week. It really doesn't, to make them feel loved and seen and heard and to build that deep, deep connection. And I have this one spot here that is highlighted, and I wrote Josiah's name really big, and it says, and it's from scripture, it's in Deuteronomy 6:1-9. And it says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons. He's talking about the scripture, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frongles on your forehead. I don't know what a frongle is. And it talks about you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates. And so it's talking about scripture. And it's so interesting because through the years I've put scripture up over our house. But one of the ways that I specifically with Josiah would connect with him is we would read something. We were always reading books. That was another gift that Sally gave me.
was just to read books to your kids. It's a way to create connection where you might be struggling to have some. Just go through an adventure together in a story. And so we would always read books together, but we would bond over so many different talks and things like that. But, you know, I wrote that down specifically with Josiah because I would focus on certain scriptures with him, and I would call up the man inside of him and who he was. And as I've seen Josiah grow into this man, I mean, he's a man, you guys. I have a man child. He is someone who is so courageous and brave and hungry for adventure and truly a warrior. And I can't help but think, you know, whenever I look back at our relationship and the things that I fretted over, that connection was the thing. It was the thing. Whether it would be that I would get on the floor and play Legos with him, or we would play video games, or just have deep talks. One of the biggest things with Josiah was whenever he was little, you know, it'd be bedtime, and of course he would have all the questions, all the thoughts, and we would sit there, and his bedtime would be at, you know, 8 o'clock, and it would be 9:30, 10 o'clock before I would actually leave the bedroom. And in those moments, that was where he connected the most for a season. And now it looks different. Now the way that him and I connect are I'll take him out to eat. We'll usually go eat some kind of Asian food like pho or Thai food or something like that. And we'll just talk and we'll talk and we'll talk. And man, it is just so worth it. And I remember looking at him for the first time whenever he was, I don't know, I think 8 or 10. I'm not exactly sure what the age was, but I remember looking at his little face and going, oh my gosh, am I raising my best friend? You know, I just love who this little human is, and I'm so grateful for him. And obviously I'm very, you know, nostalgic this morning. I'm pensive about, you know, motherhood and all these things, but mostly I am just so very grateful for the journey of getting to be Josiah's mother and knowing that we're at the front of that relationship. You know what I mean? Like, he's only 22 and I plan on being around here as long as humanly possible. And I get so many more years to enjoy him and watch him grow and watch him flourish. And I wanted to share this with you this morning because, man, whatever it is that you've got going on right now with your kids, your individual kids, I hope that you're taking time out and that you're assessing what's going on in each one of your relationships with your kids, and taking the time to say, what does this kid need from me? And so at the end of these Sally Clarkson conferences, at the very end, after being poured into and hearing all these incredible speakers and just being encouraged, I would go find a spot in the hotel, and I would usually have a view of the outside somewhere, and I'd sit down with my notebook, and I would write out, take one page, put Josiah's name at the top, the next page, put Jude's name at the top, and then Jocelyn, and then Journey. And as I would sit there, I would just think, okay, what does Josiah need from me? What does he need in life? And I would pray about that. And I would write down, you know, strategic things that I wanted to do with him and for him and things I wanted to teach him for that year. And I would do that for each and every one of my kids. And it was just one thing I did one time a year. And there were so many other things that I learned in these conferences and things that I developed over the years of homeschooling and raising kids. I'm still in the midst of it. I have a 10-year-old as my youngest. And I've decided that I want to share those things with you. And so I am going to be hosting an event in July, coming up this July. It's going to be in Dallas, and it's going to be a weekend retreat, and it's called the Mom Journey Retreat. And I want to officially invite you, listener, to come and to be a part of that event, because I want to recreate some of the best things that this conference offered to me and also share with you things that I've learned through my motherhood journey. And so that we can really truly get together with a group of women and that we can encourage each other. And we are able to dive in together, get serious about our momhood. I know we're already serious, but like, get intentional. You know what I mean? Life is busy. Things are so fast. So I want to invite you to take a weekend away with me. I don't have all the details nailed down yet. But my family is so super excited. I've been talking about this forever to my kids, and they're like, oh my gosh, mom, that's incredible. They're going to help me set it up. We're going to be here in Dallas. It's going to be very intimate, probably only going to have 10 to 15 women. We're going to get a big Airbnb. I'm going to spoil you rotten. And we're going to lean into our motherhood journey and set the year together. So if this sounds like something that you might be interested in, I would love for you to go ahead and email me. You can actually email me at connect@thepowerfulparentingtribe.com. I know that's a mouthful. I am so sorry. But you're going to email me at thepowerfulparentingtribe.com. It's a brand new email address, so it is definitely not going to roll off my tongue. But guys, this journey is I don't know. It's the journey of a lifetime. It's the most wonderful thing next to being a wife and getting to be a business owner. I always say and kind of joke around that, there's three things that will grow you the most in life. And that is being a wife, being in a marriage, being a mother and running a business. And those three things are going to sharpen you so much. And the cool part about it is, especially with motherhood, is we don't have to do it alone. And so I want to invite you, please email me at that email address. I'll have more information coming up in the next podcast episode. I'm going to be publishing a lot more content on social media. So hopefully you'll see me getting loud about this. And but I'm hoping that this is going to fill up fast. So if you're interested, please make sure to email me at contact@thepowerfulparentingtribe.com, and I'll give you more information and give you a sign up link. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I'm going to jump off. I've got meetings starting soon, and I cannot wait for Josiah to wake up so we can celebrate him. And by the way, I forgot to share. I know Josiah is not going to want this year, but all the other kids are going to want it. Is every birthday morning about, I don't know, 15, maybe? Yeah, about 15 to 18 years ago, we started having ice cream for breakfast. And I know that's not healthy, guys, but I was looking for out of the box ways to celebrate and make it really exciting. And so it comes from whenever I was a young girl, I needed to be tutored in math, I think like in fifth or sixth grade or something. And my mom took me over to Austin College in Sherman, Texas. And I had a college student that was a tutor. And every time she'd come and tutor me, she'd bring this little bowl of soft serve chocolate ice cream with cocoa pebbles sprinkled on top of the soft serve. And it was so good. It was just one of my favorite things. And I never, usually had a chance to make it. And so I just had this crazy idea, like, what if we had ice cream for breakfast? And so for a long time, it's morphed over the years, but I began getting Dutch chocolate bluebell ice cream, adding some milk to it. And the kids thought it was the funniest thing because they'd never seen it before. So I'd put the Dutch chocolate in bowls, and then I would pour milk over it, and then I would add cocoa pebbles on top. And it is just such a wonderful, delightful treat. But this morning we've got ice cream for breakfast, although Josiah's on a health kick. And so he's not going to want ice cream for breakfast. So I'm going to make him something healthy. But yeah, just super fun. It's all the little nuances and fun little things that set rhythms in your home that helps anchor your kids to the connection they have and the place that they belong. So no matter where you are on your parenting journey, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. And I hope to hear from you in email. I truly hope you enjoyed our episode today on the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Make sure to hit follow and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. You're not going to want to miss a thing, I promise. If you were impacted by this episode, do me a favor and leave a review with a comment. I read every one of them, and I also pass them along to our guests. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links at powerfulparenting.com/podcast. If you want to see more behind the scenes with me and my guests, be sure to find me on Instagram or Facebook. It's where we can have deeper conversations on these podcasts. Take care. And remember, it's not about being a perfect parent. It's about taking each day and working on showing up powerfully for our kids. They deserve it, and you are the parent for the job. See you on the next episode.